Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The picks, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust up and everybody else in between. Throwing it down Sunday, bloody Sunday style as Week 10 was a wild one. Heavy rains, heavy winds, brutal beats, backdoor covers, Hail Marys. And everything else in between. Week 10 in the National Football League was a wild one. Kyler Murray hits DeAndre Hopkins, a 43-yard Hail Mary, a prayer that is answered. Arizona comes back and beats Buffalo as Buffalo once again blows a double-digit lead. Buffalo head into their bye week with a 7-3 record. But in the immortal words, and may the coach rest in peace, former Arizona head coach Dennis Green, we let him off the hook. And that's exactly what happened. They let him off the hook. So the Buffalo Bills, like, don't comprehend that you have to play 60 minutes. All right? Not 59, not 59 and a half, not 48, not 46, but 60. And Arizona, dramatic victory. Nothing dramatic about Pittsburgh's victory today, but whatever. Pittsburgh's just destroying the National Football League right now. Pittsburgh remains undefeated after a 36 beatdown over Joey B and the Bengals. The Saints beat the Niners, but lose Drew Brees. Jameis Winston steps up in it. All the talk about Taysom Hill, but it looks like Jameis Winston would be the quarterback, and it could be genius of the New Orleans Saints to have Jameis Winston on the roster and ready to go. Like, I don't know, like maybe some other teams, like, I don't know, like Dallas and others in the National Football League decided to pass on Jameis Winston. The Rams' domination over the Seattle Seahawks continue. Now 5-1 in the last six games. These guys are dominant over Seattle. Seattle suddenly have a little bit of trouble right now. And, you know, the Rams, we talked about this. The Rams can be really, really good or really bad. All right? And we got the good Rams today. Rams step up and in and dominate it. Speaking of domination, DJ crushes it at Augusta. Sets a course record. 20 under. DJ was plus 800. He was actually, you know, the co-favorite to win this thing. So it's not a surprise. We had DJ. We cashed a ticket, top 10, but we did not have DJ to win the tournament. Days away from the NBA draft. We're breaking it down. Big man on campus steps up and in. AP top 25. I'm on the board. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Thank your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner, and I know the winner. So call me now.
Whoa!
$5 minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line.
Line.
Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of my MA versus Cincinnati.
Come on. Don't you realize this is costing me money?
Late Night Anger Management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Big man on campus is going to step up and throw it down with us. But we've got some rage. We've got some rage to vent right now. And we start off like, well, listen. This was probably the craziest Sunday yet this year in the National Football League, in which there really was a little bit of something. You know, there was something for everybody. All right, like you name it, and it basically happened. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, but the fact is, the term bad beat is used way too much. Like everything's a classic, everything's the best ever. Everything is epic and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everybody's the greatest thing ever. You know, every player is the greatest ever now. Right. And people overblow everything. And the term bad beat, annoys me. All right. Like there's definitions of bad beats and, you know, everything is relative. You know, we're not a gambling elitist. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Your $25 bet can mean more to you than somebody that has $10,000 on the game. But at the same point in time, people overuse the term bad beat. Every time you lose a damn bet, it's not a bad beat. You want to talk about bad beats? I can tell you about bad beats, all right? I can tell you about bad beats. And I can start on Saturday night with the Washington Huskies. Need a touchdown. Push the game over the total. And, of course, need a touchdown for the cover as well. And, you know, they have first and goal inside the five. There's a targeting penalty. They have 13 plays, it seems, from inside the 6-yard line. They go backwards. Last night, the Washington Husky game was a bad beat. Nick Chubb today? Yeah. Is that a bad beat? Yes and no. Basically, if you bet a 3.5, you sort of deserve to lose. I hate to say it, but I see people crying, oh, I had a 3.5. Then buy a half point, dumbass. It's 3.5. You know what I mean? People act surprised. I can't believe what a horrible beat that an NFL game landed on 3 points. Yeah, shocking. Can't believe it. That never happens. Come on. So, Nick Chubb steps out of bounds, 59-yard run. They're up by 3. You know, there were 4s out there. I sympathize with the 4s out there. The 3.5s can suck it. I sympathize with the 4s. The 4s out there, I feel your pain. And listen, we'll get to my own pain. You know, when you talk about bad beats, how about Lamar Jackson tonight? But we'll get to that. So, you know, Nick Chubb pops one late, and it's always the dream, right? If you need a late score, or maybe he'll pop one. Maybe the running back will pop one. Nick Chubb does. He steps out of bounds. He goes 59 yards. He steps out of bounds at the 1-yard line. All right, he steps out of bounds at the 1-yard line instead of scoring the touchdown so they can just take a knee after and win the game. Incredibly frustrating. And yeah, you can say unselfish. You got to ask yourself, honestly, were Houston coming back in the pouring rain down 17-7 with 57 seconds left? No. Right? No. If he scores a touchdown, is anyone mad at him? No. So he does the right thing. People are upset. Fantasy football has a big impact. The point spread it had an impact on in-game totals. You listen, every play in the NFL has an impact on somebody. All right, every play. That's a good article right there. Every play means something, and it's true. Every play, whether for the player, for the fan, the coach, you name it. Every play in the NFL in an NFL game means something to somebody. But this play obviously was massive. Yeah, there's two parts of it to me. And I'm pretty old school and do whatever's best for the team thing. But I also think, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? I get paid for stats. I get paid for touchdowns. I get paid for production. And it's not my fault if we can't hold a 10-point lead in 57 seconds. All right? So I'm scoring. So I don't know what to tell you. I'm going in the end zone here. Because I've got to look out for me. And I don't have a problem with that. But ultimately, what Nick Chubb did is very, very, you know, it was very big of him to do that, to sacrifice his stats and to sacrifice the touchdown like that. And what it does as well is it ends the game. And it's not that, oh, it's like they can't come back and win. Because like I said, the Houston Texans weren't coming back and winning. All right? The Houston Texans weren't coming back and winning. But what it does, it's one less kickoff. It's a bunch of less plays that you have to run. That's where his teammates. He's thinking about his team. Bo Schembechler, the team. Right? He's thinking of his team right now. And he's thinking, all right, if I step out of bounds here, we can take a knee and the game's over. If I score a touchdown, we're up by 10 with a minute left and we got to kick the ball off. People get hurt on kickoffs all the time. Well, not anymore because no one returns anything. But people get hurt on special teams. Then I got to send my defense back out on the field. Like guys on the defense, you know, they're going to take Nick Chubb out to dinner if it's not against the law in Ohio to do so right now. They might do it anyways. All right. But like, think about that. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't heard anyone talk about that because people only worry, oh, my fantasy team. Whatever, dude. He got a 59-yard run for you, right? He doesn't owe you anything. And, you know, you think about that and think like, okay, he scores a touchdown. We go on defense and then Myles Garrett gets hurt because you're only up by 10 with a minute left. And then someone gets hurt. And it's like, you know what? The defense never had to be on the field because if he just would have stepped out of bounds, we could have taken a knee. So he really did, you know, like his teammates are going to love him for this. Like the guys on the defense are going to recognize this. They're going to recognize, damn, that's a bunch of less plays that I'm risking injury going out there thanks to this guy. Like they owe Nick Chubb big time. Good for Nick Chubb and good for me because I actually won too because of it. Which I didn't realize at the time because I had smaller plays on it and I got so many damn bets, you know, whatever. Was it a big concern for me? The Buffalo Bills. Interesting situation with the Bills. Listen, we were all over the game. The Bills cover the number. It was up to 3. The game goes over the number and the Bills cover the teaser. And we nailed the props. We actually had a very successful day in the NFL. I should be happier, but you know, there were a couple of bad beats and losses along the way, including Buffalo losing the game outright. I had a piece of Buffalo money line. And, you know, we've seen this before, man, with the Buffalo Bills. Now, I'm not going to go crazy and I'm not going to rip the Bills. It's been a hell of a season for the Bills. They've won 70% of their games. They haven't had a bye. It's been rough. They saw the light at the end of the tunnel, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were so close. It's like prison break. They were out, like they were basically over the fence. They were close. They were about gone. And they started dreaming of like hookers and blow. And, you know, they started visioning freedom. and like the Bills have a bye week coming up, right? They were winning. They're thinking, all right, man, we're up by double digits. This is great. We're going to be 8-2. We have a bye coming up. How great is this? And then boom, you know, listen, man, the NFL, it's like life, okay? Gambling is everything. It's all correlated. It's like life. If you let up for a second, you know, penny wise, pound crazy, man. Like, you've got to be smart 24-7. You got to be smart for 60 minutes. Big man on campus steps up in their next. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Sunday Bloody Sunday. Or you could call it the Sunday Night Massacre. You know, we did a poll question tonight. What's your worst beat of the day? How much? What happened? How did it go down? Because I don't want to hear about, I lost my fantasy matchup and it sucks. Yeah, I know it sucks. But, like, you know, I want to hear about your hard, cold cash and the bad beats. And there were a million of them for me. And we're going to bring Big Man on Campus in a second. His Philadelphia Eagles, that wasn't a bad beat. That was just a bad pick. So that wasn't a bad beat. But I have to say, Lamar Jackson tonight, his rushing prop was 55.5. He gets to 55. He pops a big one late, and there's a holding penalty. I thought we had it. It was a late call, a late penalty, too. Stupid. It had nothing to do with him getting open either and breaking it. But that's, hey, it is what it is. And is it a bad beat at 55.5? Or is it a bad bet? It's 55.5 yards. Like, we're at the time of the year right now where the number is juiced. And we'll see a big man. Big man's an angry man all the time. And big man hates people on Twitter. And big man, I hate the term bad beat. Every jackass kid, his first time he's ever lost a parlay. Oh, what a bad beat. No, maybe it was a bad pick. All right? Maybe it was a bad pick. And, you know, newsflash. Like, today people cried about Cleveland. Oh, it was 3.5. Then don't be a dumbass and buy half a point down to 3. Like, right? Don't lay 3. Who lays 3.5 in a football game? So I see everyone crying about bad beats all the time. There are bad beats. But every time someone loses a bet, it's not a bad beat, big man. What's going on, big man?
I'm doing good, Gabe. Yeah, no, it's definitely that term's definitely thrown around. I'll tell you another one that's thrown around a lot. I hear it all the time now. Is bettors that use the word value. Value is, you know, there's a definition for value in sports betting. Just because, you know, you bet a game and you don't feel like talking about it, you just say you got value. You know, value is when you play a game at 3.5 and it goes up to 6.5 and you had the best number. That's value. Value is not, you could have got 4.5, but you're betting 7.5. That's not value. That's thrown around a lot as well.
Yeah, value, sharps and squares is the other one too. That's the worst one maybe. That might be the worst term on top of them all, the sharps and squares. And people don't understand the term. People, like, don't get it. The other thing is line moves. It's amazing now that betting is so mainstream, like how misinformed and how people don't understand, the market, you know, about line moves. And, oh, it means there's a lot of money. No, it means that there's injuries and that the computer has adjusted things. But, you know, I could go on, but the bad beat thing, listen, I have Lamar Jackson over 55.5. It's a high number, right? You're betting a quarterback to rush for 56 yards. So can you cry about it after? Yeah, I guess a bit. The Nick Chubb stuff, you know, big man, I get it. It's frustrating. And I don't know what it is about Georgia players, because, yeah, I don't know if you remember, big man, that was Todd Gurley's thing. Todd Gurley used to always do that with the Rams. And it was starting to really piss people off because he did it like every week. Like, once he even did it, and McVay told him, bro, just score, all right? Stop going out of bounds all the time. So, he was overdoing it. Chubb doing it today, I get it. They take a knee, they win the game. It saves people from going back out on the field and risking injury. But I understand people's frustrations. It was a wild day in the NFL today, bro.
Yeah, it really was. You know, the whole Chubb one, I actually I was at a Barstool thing. We were doing watching the games, and I mean, I thought one of the kids in the house was going to jump off the second floor window. He was he wasn't very happy at that. But I will say, you know, I mean, if you're Nick Chubb, I mean, just fall down at the 50. I mean, did you really need to go out of bounds at the 2 yard line and basically just kind of toil with bettors? It's just kind of, it was kind of a rough move. You don't think he knows what the number is in that game? I mean,
no, he's not toiling with bettors. He's racking his own stat up too, though, right? He got 59 yards out of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He gets 59 yards out of it. I don't think Nick Chubb does know the spread. I don't think he does. I'm willing to bet that Nick Chubb doesn't know what the point spread of the game.
I feel like they all do sometimes, but I will say your Lamar Jackson one was rough. I mean, you just happened to get, like, over the last 5 minutes of the game, just a torrential downpour. You probably could add something a little bit better there with that. But, yeah, it was a weird day. I actually did quite well today, but, you know, yeah, you just got to take it day by day. Yesterday could have – I'll tell you, Gabe, I had two games yesterday in college football that could have been horrific. I mean, I had Wake Forest. That was a complete roller coaster. And then I actually had the under last night in that Oregon State-Washington game. I don't know how the hell that game stayed under. But, yeah, you know, you just take the good days, you take the bad days, and you just live to see another day.
We focus on the worst. Barstool Sports, big man on campus. Barstool has got a Barstool house in Philadelphia. They lay it down and things get crazy there. But you're right. We take the worst, right? We remember, like, last night, too, I was livid, bro. I had it in game, big man. I was on. I played an in game Washington Huskies -6.5. And after the targeting penalty, I'm like, how do we not score? We're on the 3 yard line, like 2 yard line. Just punch it in. You need to score anyways. You're going to, you know, just punch it in. I don't know how the hell they didn't score either, bro. They go backwards and leg whips. And it was like, what the hell are you guys doing to me? And they couldn't get in. But at the exact same time, big man, right before that, I took UNLV in game +17.5. And San Jose State took a knee, like on a 3 yard line, same crap. They took a knee at the end. They could have easily scored. And they didn't. And it turns out, of course, the coach of UNLV was the coach was a quarterback at San Jose State. And they go to each other's weddings and they go vacations together. And like, I was like, there's no way in hell he's going to run this up and punch this in at the end. And he did it. So, you know, you get a knee, you lose a knee. It is what it is. But how about my Buffalo Bills? Oh, it's such a Buffalo thing, isn't it, big man? Like, can you think of a franchise that we've had as many of these signature losses? Like, you know what I mean? The Music City Miracle, missed field goal in the Super Bowl. Now we got to watch this stupid highlight, Hail Mary forever. I'm a Michigan fan. I got to watch that stupid Cordell Stewart play from Colorado over and over all the time. Man, like, you know, I'm not even that mad. I got to laugh. I won the bets. I killed it in that game. You know, the Bills are 7-3, big man. It is what it is, but still frustrating. But, you know, it would have been nicer to be 8-2 as opposed to 7-3.
Yeah, it kind of overshadowed a great catch by Stephon Diggs right before that. I had the over in this game, and I was, you know, this kind of just kind of put the exclamation point on it. But, yeah, I mean, not only do you're not able to get Kyler Murray there, but you kind of allow them to march down the field. And then, you know, anytime those happen, they're just rough. You just kind of hope it's not your team. But, yeah, I think all in all, I think you have the right mindset. Buffalo's still a really good football team, 7-3. I'll tell you, though, and I'll continue to say this, they've got to get better on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, it seems like every week they had one or two games where they maybe picked it up. But, you know, this is a lot of shootouts they're playing in. They were able to get through with that Rams game. They almost gave that one up. You know, this game here, I mean, this is a bad defensive team. Luckily, they're outscoring teams, but you're not going to play the Jets and you know, a pretty poor Patriots team every week. This team gives up way too many points, and that's going to kill them in the playoffs. They got a tough stretch coming up as well. I mean, you got L.A., you got the Niners in San Francisco, you got the Steelers, so yeah, they need to figure it out on that side, because in the playoffs, they're going to get exploited defensively.
One thing with the Bills, well, listen, they didn't have Levi Wallace today. They didn't have Josh Norman. Norman's not the player that he was, but it was Milano was out, which was massive. They were really beat up. You know, and you're right, though. The offense has been carrying them. The defense has been getting better. They've been swarming. That's why I was disappointing to give up that play late like that. But I'll tell you what, as positive, you know, we could be, oh, it's not the end of the world. For the Bills are 7-3. You know, the Miami Dolphins now have 6 wins. The Dolphins aren't letting up. Now winners of 5 in a row right now, they're really starting to crank it up as a football team. Their confidence level is sky high. Flores is doing a great job. One of the few, like, former Patriot guys that actually doesn't suck as a head coach. And, you know, the Dolphins have good players. People, like, it's not like a Cinderella story. They spent a ton of money in the offseason. But, you know, Tua's getting it done. You know, it's not easy to win 5 games in a row in the NFL, big man. You got to give credit to the Dolphins.
Yeah, you know, they're such a fascinating team because you look at their stats. I mean, I bet if I told you, you know, they were a team that was top, you know, 5 in the NFL in opposing points per game, you wouldn't believe me, but they are. You know, defensively, they have just been fantastic. And you look at the offense, obviously Tua's come in and done his thing, but their leading rusher today was Salvon Ahmed. Salvon Ahmed went to Washington University. You look at their top receiver, Jakeem Grant, player from Rutgers. Like, they're doing it with good defense and just random players. It's kind of fascinating. And, you know, Brian Flores continues to just do wonders with this roster. I don't want to call my own, you know, kind of call, but I had a reason to believe this team is going to be a solid group this year. Defensively, I thought they were good coming back. They went out and really kind of addressed it. They brought players in, you know, guys like Van Noy and you know, just good, solid football players. And, you know, the offense has figured it out as well. Tua has been kind of a nice shot in the arm. Good for Miami. I mean, they went through kind of the ringer last year. It's nice to see them doing well.
And how about, and I guess the party, well, no, the Chargers are favored. We'll get into the numbers later, but, like, can we stop with this Chargers? Like, it's laughable, but I'm loving it, big man. Every week, the Chargers are, like, 1-point underdogs only. Yeah, but they could be 9-0. They could be, oh, but, you know, oh, they could be this. They could. Well, they're not. They don't even cover.
Yeah.
They don't even cover because the numbers are all, like, so low all the time. Big man on campus. All right, we're going to get into the Eagles on the other side and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. Well, I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
All right, bad beat Sunday. Brutal beat Sunday. Pain Sunday. We don't like the term bad beats, but I can live with it today. Nick Chubb, that did suck. Like I said, I sympathized with the people that had -4. The 3.5, suck it. The Lamar Jackson prop was brutal, like 55.5. That was painful. You know what sucked about that? Just the fact that he ran for like 12 extra yards after, and it got called back. And it was a late flag. It was a late flag. We were talking earlier. I said, Nick Chubb doesn't know to spread. I wonder, like, you know, the referee knows, all right, Lamar Jackson, old boy, he's in 55.5. He's looking at his meter, their big man. All right, like, I tell you what, people always like talk about, you know, their kids. You know, raise your kid to be a golf player. Raise your kid to be a tennis player. You know, I tell you, we got to raise your kid, big man, to be a crooked referee. It's perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like when people raise their kids to be like the mob, like gets a, you know, raise the kids to be inside the police force and stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like the spy world is like that, you know? You do that in sports. You raise a crooked referee. You get them planted in there. Just for props, though, because they catch on, right? If you do games like Tim Donaghy, people catch on. You got to do like the props and bang it in between. But that's besides the point. All right, so the Philadelphia Eagles. It gets tiresome every Sunday talking about these guys in this way, but it's for real now, bro. Like, Carson Wentz is not the guy. This team sucks. Doug Peterson's an idiot. Yeah, it's just, is this rock bottom? It has to be. I mean, the fact that they can't pull away in this division, big man. Like, seriously. What? And, you know, it didn't matter in the end, but why did he go for two when he went for two? Who would he went for two earlier. I get it. All right, so you cut the lead. Why did he go for two after? You're down by, just cut the lead to three. Like, what's the logic of cutting the lead to two, big man? Does his playbook, the analytics tell him to do that? What the hell is this guy doing? What the hell are the Philadelphia Eagles doing? Carson Wentz gets outplayed by, like, you know, dude, that DiNucci. DiNucci had the same stats as Wentz that night did. And now, you know, Danny Jones, it's getting old, big man. I'm not, you know, you're an Eagle fan, so I'd imagine you're on the verge of having a heart attack. Otherwise, you're like me with Michigan and just tuning it out now. You're like, these guys suck. I can't, you know. I took them today. I never take the Eagles. I take the Eagles today. All I need them to do is win the game. They were never even in the damn game, big man.
Yeah, it breaks my heart that I have to kind of treat him this way. And it's been a horrible year, and you kind of looked at football as maybe a way to kind of get some happiness. But, yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is the Eagles are a bottom – and I mean this, and I'm willing to tell you who I think there's two teams probably worse than the Eagles in the league. They're miserable. I mean, Doug Peterson just continues these bizarre decisions. The play calling has just been horrific. He has this team never prepared. I mean, they're literally always down. I mean, they were down to the Rams. They were down to the Ravens. They were down to Ben DiNucci. They were down to the Giants in the first game. They were down today. They're never prepared. They don't turn the ball over on the defensive side. They're not good, you know, running the ball. You know, their players come back from injury and are just completely missing in action. Carson Wentz is, I mean, again, how long do you put up with it? And you know what, Gabe, what makes it more sickening is this is what we do in this city. All we do is deal with these young kids that come in as these star guys and you think they're going to be stars and they just never matriculate. Look at Joel Embiid. I mean, when is his act going to run tired? Ben Simmons, Carson Wentz. It's just never ending. And now it's with the Eagles. Who knows what if Bryce Harper will ever do anything here? It's just maddening. But with the Eagles, it's the same stuff over and over. There's no juice. There's no excitement. They just go through the motions. I think Doug Peterson is. I know he won a Super Bowl, but I think he's running out of time.
Well, that's the thing. And that, yeah, he won a Super Bowl, but how long do you give him? How long does he get forever? And honestly, and listen, Doug Peterson's a problem. I've been repeating this forever since Frank Reich left. Frank Reich was the brains there. He was the innovator. He was the one that helped the quarterbacks. Like, do you think that with Nick Foles, if Reich wasn't there, they win? Like, dude, that's another thing, big man. Doug Peterson was a damn quarterback. Not a good one, but he was a quarterback. Like, what is he doing for Carson Wentz? Like, Carson Wentz is getting worse by the week. It's like that movie with Brad Pitt, you know what I mean? Where he gets younger by the day and then he's just like a baby at the end. Like, dude, like every week Carson Wentz gets worse. Like, what are they teaching this guy? Like, I know, like it's, and the play, you know, the, as you stated too, and the players have to look themselves in the mirror, but to me, big man, and Peterson's a problem. But the thing is, the GM, who is it, Rosen, like the GM, there's just the talent's not there, big man. We go back to the draft picks, and they hung on to this roster before. You got a bunch of dudes that are always hurt. Oh, what a shock, eh, that DeSean Jackson's hurt again, big man. Can't believe that happened. And even though it was bad luck, he didn't deserve it on the fair catch, still, he would have got hurt anyways, big man, and another time. Alshon Jeffrey's been done since the Super Bowl, all right? That was his peak. Like, he peaked. That was the peak of his career. And, you know, he was the Bears before he was good. The Eagles peaked. Now he's done. As you stated, they always have these, like, injured dudes. They're hanging on. Like Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. They're hanging on to the past too much, big man. So it's not all Peterson's fault. But the entire organization is flawed, bro.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the most maddening thing about it. There was no one that thought this roster was good enough. I'm not sure why they did. And you look at coming up, I mean, it's conceivable to think that they may not win another game this year. They're getting three at Cleveland.
They're not going to beat Cleveland.
And they have a gauntlet coming up. I mean, they have some really tough football. They got Seattle. They got Green Bay. I mean, Seattle's going to destroy them. I mean, Green Bay's going to destroy them. Look, I agree with you. For me, it was Reich. It was Nick Foles. It was, guys that Trey Burton, guys like that, that they just, and then you just keep, and that was the most maddening thing about the offseason is the most arrogant thing that this team has ever done, and I truly mean it, is you give Carson Wentz $130 or $40 million, whatever it was, a year later, you make it clear you're never going to start anyone over Carson Wentz. Yet, in the second round of last year's draft, you make it a point to completely reach and make the worst pick in the history of this team, and you don't play him now that Wentz isn't playing well. I don't get it. I don't get anything they do. You can make the case, Gabe, and I mean this. I bleed Eagle green since I was born. When I came into this world, I was an Eagles fan. There is a team there. I don't know that there's a team in the league right now that tries less than this team. At least the Jets try. At least they have a quarterback that can make plays. At least they have a solid defense. At least the Cowboys have, good receivers and something to talk about. What the hell do the Eagles have? Nothing. They, to me, right now, are the least most talented team in the NFL. I just there's no one below them to me. At least the Bengals have Joe Burrow. At least the maybe the Jags. They might be less.
They're the Minnesota Timberwolves of the NFL, you're saying, right? Like they're like just an irrelevant franchise. Like they're one of those teams. Like you're right, they have nothing going for them.
And it's not that they're just irrelevant. They're not good. They do nothing well. They have no juice ever. Literally, the only thing they do well is punt. They have a good punter. That's about it. Other than that, they are dead. They stink, and they are dead.
This division is terrible. We have updated numbers right now. Barstool Sports, big man on campus, kicking with us. Philadelphia Eagles are -165 to win the division. The New York Giants are now 3-1 to win the division. The Cowboys are 7-1, and Washington are +750. So this New York football team, they've been pretty competitive this year. Now 7-3 against the spread on the year. They've lost a lot of close games. They couldn't get over the top. Joe Judge is a rookie coach. Daniel Jones still a young quarterback. But we see when Jones does not turn the ball over and even limits the turnovers, they're effective. And they're starting to put it together a little bit right now, big man. And, listen, I don't know if the Giants can win this division. It's such a train wreck. The Eagles have the upper hand with that tie still. But the fact of the matter is, there's no way in hell you can lay -165 on the Eagles to win a division right now. Is +300 enough value for the Giants? I don't know. Probably not, but you can't lay 165 with the Eagles. And I don't even think that much of the Browns. But the thing is, as you just talked about, each team, big man, you can hang your hat on something. The Browns, you can say, well, man, they got Kareem Hunt. They got Nick Chubb. They have a good line, right? Odell's not there, but they still have other. Higgins is good. They got other good weapons still. They got talent on defense. And at least, Cleveland are winning games, so they're going to come to play. It won't be pretty, but how the hell can you trust Philadelphia in this spot at all? I hate saying, oh, Cleveland are a lock, but I don't see how Philadelphia win this game. And I don't know if Philadelphia's going to win this division in the end. I mean, the Giants might be putting it together, big man.
To be really honest with you, I couldn't care if they do or not. They're not going to win a playoff game. When you can't win a Super Bowl, I just think in this town, no one cares. People don't want, that kind of just, oh, you made the playoffs, cool. This is where the Sixers were for years. They would make the playoffs and then select at 16 or 17 every year, and they wouldn't get any better. I wish this team would lose. I hope they lose every game going forward. I want them to go up and get a big-time player. They need And again, you know what's crazy, Gabe? Like, it won't matter because they're horrific drafters, so it won't matter. But yeah, I'll tell you what, the Giants played well today. They needed this game, obviously. You know, if you lose this game, you go to 2-8, you go into the bye, you probably move on from, you know, Dave Gettleman, because at that point, at 2-8, you have to seriously consider whether you're going to stick with Daniel Jones. I don't know if you want Gettleman to make that pick. So this is a big game today. Jones was terrific, and he outplayed Carson Wentz. This is, again, a quarterback outplays Carson Wentz. It's
a pattern.
I'm pretty disgusted with the Eagles. I'm at the point now where the disgust is turning into just, I don't care.
Yeah, you know, that's how I feel about Michigan. That's how I feel about Michigan football. And like, past that. And the Eagles aren't as bad as Michigan are. Like, Michigan, dude, like, I can't watch it. And I don't like being that fan, because I'm not that guy that I don't only really, like, jump on. I've been a Michigan fan for like a hell of a long time. Right. So for, you know, 40 years type of deal, 40 plus years. But it's not that I'm ducking out of it either, big man. But the thing is, so like last night, why the hell am I going to watch Michigan like losing 28-0? It's boring as hell when there's other good games on. Right. So, and I actually have money on the other game too. So it's to the point, though, where it's unwatchable. And that's pretty sad. Like, because even when Brady Hoke there, like, it wasn't unwatchable. Or Rich Rodriguez, it wasn't unwatchable. I never imagined in a million years Harbaugh would be this much of a failure there. I don't know, big man. He seemed like the perfect guy, the perfect, like, the perfect everything. They win the Sugar Bowl in his first year there. You know what I mean? They're just like, wow. You know, they're going to go to the playoffs, like, next year. Like, they go to the Sugar Bowl. The wheels 0-5 against OSU. 3-3 against Michigan State. Michigan State or Pepsi. Late Night Anger Match, my class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
The Sunday Night Massacre continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, Late Night Anger Management Class. We're kicking it. Big man on campus. Barstool Sports in the house. And, of course, Barstool's now in Philadelphia. Perfect city for them to be throwing it down in. Well, of course, they're in many cities, but including Philadelphia. That's where Big Man on Campus joins us from right now. And, Big Man, I'm not crying about bad beats. It is what it is, but I got into a parlay mood this weekend, like big parlays. It's like, let's swing for the fences parlays. I was inspired by the guy that won $440,000 last week. So I played a 10-team college football parlay. All right, money line, big man. All right, I sat here for hours, like thinking, all right, which game, you know, all right, this game, they won't lose. So money line parlay, San Jose State, Oregon, Florida, Nevada, USC, Houston, App State, Lafayette, Marshall. That's 9 wins. 1 loss, big man. 1 loss on the parlay. Rutgers. And that's what I'm saying. Like, is Rutgers a bad beat? It kind of is. The ball bounced off the dude. It tipped. It hit the helmet. It was kind of crazy. But whatever, dude. I put Rutgers in a money line parlay, so I can't cry that I lost. And how about this one, big man? I played a parlay, bro. This is the DGEN special. 11 sides, 11 NFL games today, under punts. Like under 8.5 punts, under 7.5 punts, under 8.5 punts. Like 11 games, under punts, big man. $7 would have paid $6,000, $5,000, like $987 or something. 9-2. I had another parlay, $25 to win $1,600. 6-1. So it's like, damn, right? Like, I'm not going to cry. I feel like our boy Yang always falls one short. So yeah, man, I'm going to hit, I'm telling you, big man, I'm going to hit one of these big son of a bitches before we're done this year, big man. Yang says me too. Poor Yang. And Yang lost his parlay because of the Hail Mary today. God, that's a bad beat right there. Bad beat Sunday, right? More with Big Man on the other side. Bring it.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.